My name is Zhaoying Summers. Don't worry about pronouncing Zhaoying. My iPhone auto-correct Zhaoying to annoying. People also ask me, why don't you have a Chinese last name? I had one before I got married. I was a hoe. Hi guys, I'm Zhaoying Summers. Welcome to Tiger Milf Podcast. Look at this jacket. I'm in Chicago. My Chicago designer friend, Esther Rasma, she made this for me. JS is my name.
Look at this. Can you see my butt cheek?
But you know what I'm saying? Tiger Milf. That's so cute. I am so excited to have one of the best podcasters. Amazing female comedian. No, fuck female. Amazing comedian motherfucker. I'm a feminist. Fuck that. It's amazing comedian. The gender is, it's just, I can't be the gender, but we don't know what gender is. I don't want to be amazing. Female, I mean, it's just like, she's a comedian. She's a fucking amazing comedian. I'm just like really woke right now. And my eyes are not woke, but like my heart is woke. So, are you ready for the very amazing Corinne Fisher?
Hello.
Hello.
What an intro.
It's good, right?
That was good.
I just got into like a, no, it's not. I checked myself, right?
There was an internal battle going
on
there.
Yeah. Yeah. I checked myself. The guy in me is a female comedian. She's funny.
Right.
But the woman in me like, no, she's a comedian.
Exactly.
We're all comedians. Yeah, she's a comedian. I'm just, I cannot help but roast your name in Chinese.
Yes.
Corinne. If your name is Corinne in Chinese, it means Kao. Yun. Kao means fuck. Yun means pregnant. So Corinne means fuck, I'm pregnant.
That's perfect.
Or a why fuck, I'm pregnant. Just Corinne always have plan B in her pockets. Don't ask why. Thank you.
That is absolutely perfect for a person who hosts a podcast called Guys We Fucked. Fuck, I'm pregnant. That couldn't have worked out better.
That's amazing. I'm so happy I got on Guys We Fucked.
I'm happy that you did too.
Such a great podcast.
Thank you.
I love that I'm actually reading a book my psychiatrist recommended me to read called Hysterical.
Oh, yes. I have a copy of Hysterical.
Oh my God. It's just like kind of like the more I read about it, the more I felt like how powerful your podcast is.
Oh, thanks.
You know, it's just that when you have a daughter, you realize, wow, it's so hard to be a woman.
Yeah.
In every way.
Yeah. You think as you progress in this career that it will get easier. And then I'm like, oh no, it actually gets harder.
Mm-hmm.
My therapist said it's because you're venturing into territory that women haven't been allowed to venture into before.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's why I pay you the big bucks, Kier, you know?
Yeah, she's very good.
Yeah. She's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm very happy with my therapist. I started therapy, I think, 4 months ago.
Is this your first time ever in therapy?
I was kind of in therapy, but it's not really like I was committed to it. And my ex wasn't, he didn't want me to do therapy. He was very against it.
Oh, because if you get fixed, then you'll leave?
Yeah, then I can understand what the fuck's wrong with me.
Right.
So, but now I am in therapy, and it's very good for me to find out who I am more. And I think the better I know myself, the better my comedy would become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a completely true. I mean, comedy is like, comedy is the reason I'm in therapy, if we're being honest, but comedy also is my therapy. So
yeah, comedy.
I feel like that peeled back the first couple layers and then you go, oh, I actually need to go to a professional now and peel back the other layers.
I think so. Comedy has really saved me.
Yeah.
Very dark place. I love comedy. I think I just let it out. You know, being honest with yourself, talking through, finding out who you are is so great.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And seeing like what parts of you resonate with an audience of absolute strangers. Because sometimes I'll have something written and I'm like, man, this is gonna kill. Everyone's gonna get this, and it's just like crickets. And then sometimes it'll be like the most insane thought that I don't think will connect with anybody. And then that's what really hits.
Yeah,
I
think comedy's like shopping. You know, you'll see a clothes thing like that. Ugly.
Yeah.
You wear it, you're like, damn, I look hot. Then you're like, that is beautiful. You put it on, you're like, that's a cheap hoe on Sunset Boulevard, 25 cents.
Right.
That is fucked up.
You got to take a risk.
Yeah, it's a risk you take.
Yeah.
I think doing is really like, it's people always think, oh, you know, they just overthink. Doing is everything. Just you are what you do. Just fucking do it.
Yeah,
you figure it out. It's you have to do jump in.
Yeah, most people aren't even doing it, so it's like, okay, yeah, if you're not the funniest person, you know, your jokes aren't hitting the best. It's like most people aren't even gonna ever try it. So
I think I had a very emotional moment before. Mm-hmm. I was getting my makeup done in my car because I didn't have time. People always trying to find out how I function.
But you were getting it done by a professional in your own car, or you were doing it
myself?
Okay. I thought you like had a makeup artist come to your like Volvo or something.
Oh, I last night I went to sleep at 2 a.m. Okay. I was just caught up in a lot of stuff. I need to request some vaccine things for my daughter for school because she just got in school.
Oh,
this Monday, her first day in school.
Ooh,
so it's a big week.
Nice
for my little family. Thank you. She did so great. She was brave. She had so much fun. So much better than my son. My son was very needy and attention seeking. My daughter is like, bye. Don't look at me. Don't touch me. Bye. She was so great. She had so much fun in school. And I woke up and then I bought my mom a Mercedes for her birthday.
Oh, wow.
No, for not birthday. Her
Mother's Day?
Mother's Day. Because the kids are in school. Now my mom can actually go to learn English.
Uh-huh.
So I got her the car so she can drive the kids around. She can go to take her English class.
And oh, so it's a little bit of a gift for you too. That's nice.
Yeah, I can take it when I go to Vegas because I have a Tesla. You know, you don't want to go to Vegas with a Tesla.
Right, right, right.
When I tour Vegas, I can take it as an SUV. So it's like a place for my clothes.
Uh-huh.
Not my
uh-huh.
kids. My clothes. My shoes.
Perfect. It all works out for everyone.
And I finished my makeup and I was just, I clicked, you know, you have the stories. You can actually save them to like a podcast or like a touring or.
Sure.
Oh my God. I clicked something called Stand Up. It's my open mic days, like around 4 years ago.
Oh.
And then at a week, like around like 179 weeks ago, is a photo of me and Bobby Lee outside the Comedy Store that I think he was walking in there and he was standing there. I said, hi, Bobby, I love your comedy. And can I have a photo? He's like, sure. So we had a photo. And then I realized, you know, I was on Tiger Belly last month.
So it's really full circle moment.
It's a full circle moment. I just look at him and like, oh my God, that was 178 weeks ago. So it's like around like 13,000 days. The Chinese it means the calculating how many weeks.
Oh, you do it like in days?
Like 12,000 days, maybe?
Yeah, well, because I was like, it's like 3 years.
Oh, yeah, it's almost 3 years.
365 days in a year. So
100,000.
Yeah, there was
1,275 days.
Yeah. Oh. No.
Yeah, that's how I got a big, the dicks hard.
Like, you with your math skills?
Yeah, you can calculate. Ooh, baby, give more. What is, so I realized that's. I've been doing comedy, writing at least 3 days, 3 hours, 4 hours a day. And it took me, you know, like 12,000 nights, over 12,000 nights to get on his podcast, being introduced as a comedian.
And that's fast because it's like you when you say it like you know 12,000 that sounds like a long you know a long time but like
yeah,
you four like within a four year span to get on one of the best podcasts in the industry that's quite impressive.
Thank you.
That's a major achievement.
I appreciate it. It's just such a moment. I just saw that. I'm like, that's Bobby because I can see that's his face smiling. I'm like, wow, that's a long time ago. I looked like. Happy and you know hopeful. Now I'm just like a dad outside, inside, everywhere.
I was gonna say, I was like, I don't. Are you gonna describe your face as happy now? That's the problem. You can tell how many years you've been doing comedy by how your smile turns into a frown. But like the more you're making other people laugh, the less you're laughing and smiling.
Yeah, it's like in Chinese we call it the 笑点, like your laughing point.
Mm-hmm.
So like the more funny people you see, the more you do comedy, your laughing point is very, very, very high.
Oh, I love that. There's a word for a laughing point.
Like laughing point is high is like you only get like you only think like when like Mark Norman sounds you're like ha 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 ha.
Right.
When like a guy next door be like really funny, you're like don't do that ever again. And then his girlfriend like oh my God that's funny. You're like
it's offensive. Yeah.
You think it's funny? You dumb hoe. So like we just our laughing point it just got so high that we can't laugh anything anymore because we are hanging out with the professionals. You know even like you know. Us running into each other at the stand and then we sit there and talk and it's just like then talking to, I would say, civilians.
Yeah.
Civilians are...
They love when we call them that.
Civilians,
I've heard.
They don't... They are... like, they try to be funny with me. I'm just like, honey, But when it's organic, it can be very funny. But the trying fucking yeah. sucks. I'm like, don't try. Because sometimes yeah. like they can just be funny. You like I think Nicki Minaj is always funny.
Oh, Nicki Minaj is she always help. Funny. Yeah,
like, I know like everything.
She's a natural talent in all yeah, ways.
Everything. So I just feel like civilians are trying to like they have like a low laugh point. They laugh at everything.
Mm, yeah. Well, you can tell that by like the things that make it onto television a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny. There's a Chinese we call it laughing point. The Xiaodian is funny.
Yeah.
There's a laughing point. How? I think your laughing point is so high. It's higher than a giraffe person.
I actually laugh a lot. Like I'm a pretty good person to have. I think I'm one of the few pro stand-ups who still finds a lot of stand-up funny. And I'll like, if I have time after a spot, I'll stay and watch the rest of the show because I genuinely enjoy stand-up comedy that much so.
I am just such a bitch. I'm like, my friend asked me like, do you want to go to a show? I'm like, when do I go up? They're like, it's a show we are watching. I'm like, is Bill Burr there?
If Bill Burr is not there, you're not interested?
No, I'm not going to go. They're like, what? I'm like, if I'm on stage, I'm going to go on stage. And if somebody like that is there, I want to watch. I like, and I think I really get. And but then I want to stay home and be around my son and my daughter so they know I exist.
That's a good thing. That's like, a good thing like, to do
I
as just, a parent.
I know like the more I work, the less time I spend with them, that will be the thing I regret when I die.
Yeah. And then the closer they become to becoming stand-up comedians.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't want that.
I don't want that.
Because you don't want a circus
family. You can't
really
kill them though. Like you can't kill them when you find out they want to be a comedian.
Right.
It's not legal in America.
Right.
Yeah. So the industry kills them by making them feel like a piece of shit.
Yes.
For me.
Yeah.
But it's a slow death. So I want them to be just fast and painless. So don't be a comedian. So that's why I want to give them the love.
Yes.
Yes, I don't want to, but like if I love them, can help me.
You got
to
love those jokes that right out of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love them. So they can just have a low laughing point and be a civilian and be happy.
Just enjoy memes.
Memes.
Enjoy
all the
jokes.
Cat things.
Yeah, like yeah, cat things, is that?
Oh my God, the cat things. Like, people are like, that's hilarious. I'm like, it's a cat.
That's the worst thing when someone you thought you respected sends you like a video or a meme and you go, this is what you find funny. I don't even know if that we can break bread together ever again.
I know. Like also like a guy you think is like super hot, then his laughing point is for super low. He's like sending you really like dumb shit.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm like, oh my God, he's so hot. His mind is so sexy. Then he sends you some dumb cat thing. And then he would send the laughing emoji, be like, oh my God. I'm dead, laughing my ass off. Can't believe this.
Oh, no.
I'm just be like, my pussy's so dry.
It's so dry. Yeah. It's like a Phoenix desert.
I can vacuum the floor with my dry pussy. It's just like, I don't think I am going to go out with you. I don't want to fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do this to myself and my pussy.
Do you like being the funny one in a relationship, or do you prefer that the guy is funnier than you?
I mean,
which is hard. You know, that's a...
I would love... to have a guy who's funnier than me.
It just never happened yet.
I have friends who I think is funnier than me, but they are not my boyfriend.
Yeah, I've also... Yeah, I have friends who I think are funnier than me, but I've never dated someone who I thought was funnier than me.
Exactly. Like, it just didn't happen. I think the guys are super, super insecure about dating a funny girl.
Oh, yes.
If they're super unfunny, they're fine. Somebody who's, like, funny, like, competitive with us, they'll be, like, feel like, you know, we get all the attention. You know, they feel like they...
Oh, 100%. On the plane right here, I was watching the first episode of Gilmore Girls. Do you watch Gilmore Girls?
I haven't. Should I watch it?
I think it's a really good show, but like this is like the third time I was watching it.
Succession.
Oh, Succession's good. I was like, Gilmore Girls, more of a, you know, early 2000s thing that I watched when I was in high school. But yeah, and there's one of the characters on the show was just telling her daughter on today's episode that men don't like funny women. And it was just reinforced again and again and again throughout many things in my childhood.
Yeah, they don't like us.
My parents encouraged me to be funny, though.
Because probably they saw that you are naturally just talented. So they know there's... You know, that you'll probably benefit and be happy.
They go, that's all she can do. She goes, she looks like she's going to have a small rack, so we better get the jokes going.
How's your rack?
Very small. This is, anything that you see here, I mean, there's a bra that has a life of its own under here. I usually don't even wear a bra, but this I think would have fallen down if I didn't put something underneath
there.
I don't like bras. Yeah, I stopped wearing them during the pandemic.
I don't wear a bra anymore.
Yeah, it's better for your tits because then they have to fight gravity on their own.
Exactly.
And they're always doing pull-ups.
I never wear a bra.
Yeah.
I'll show you guys.
You have some fly ass titties though. I saw them on the runway.
I wear bras because bras is actually they invented that thing to take money from you. I know that after I lost my money from my divorce, I realized that all things are.
Oh, there's so much more things that women have to buy that you don't need. Yeah.
Yeah, and also like if my dress is long enough, I don't wear underwear because let it breathe.
Yeah, it feels so good when you're wearing a long gown and you have an underwear on. Oh my god,
so good.
Yeah,
and I'm not wearing underwear right now.
Amazing.
I don't wear underwear because like the butt cheek looks worse.
Yeah,
have underwear on.
I have to right now, but that's just because we're very close to close the edge.
To
Coochie Town.
Yeah, Coochie Town. And also, like, I cannot sleep not naked. I have to sleep naked. I can never. People are like, what happens to the earthquake? I'm like, the fire. I'm like,
that's their main
concern. Naked. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to run out naked.
You can survive naked.
Yeah. They're like, what people are going to say? I'm like, who cares about me being naked?
I think you would get help faster if everyone evacuated and you were naked.
Oh.
I think they're going to save you first.
Yeah, save me. I can breastfeed you.
I think that's a great plan. Yeah. I think that's a great plan. If for any disaster, fire.
Fire, yeah. People tell you can't be naked, sleeping naked, because when there's an emergency, you have to put on your clothes before you run. I said no.
No, that's a rule that society made to, I guess, get us all to die because it's unnecessary.
When I go there, I'm going to take the two kids. I'm just going to like this and run away.
Oh, you're going to naked hold your... I mean...
You're naked and hold two kids.
Wait, are your kids are old enough that they can run?
My boy's four. My daughter is 2.5.
Oh,
she can run. She's so smart.
Okay.
And she has a lot of attitude, which is good.
So she'll...
Now I want her to just... don't have the baby doll voice. Don't try to be cute. Don't try to be agreeable. Just be who you are and people think you're a cold bitch. It's fine.
Yeah.
And don't try to blend in. You're going to find your weird friends.
Yeah.
And you are just going to be you and the result is the society trying to fuck you.
You're already telling your 2-year-old that people are going to be trying to fuck her?
Society trying to fuck her. I mean, like the guys... the guys want to fuck you. Society want to fuck you. Everybody want to fuck you.
Right. I thought you meant literally you were like, you're looking pretty fly today and I think people are going to try to fuck you.
Yeah. The uncle in the van.
You mean like societally. Yeah.
They are going to try to fuck you.
Yeah.
Just cap your edges. You are not going to... Your life is not going to be easy either way because you are a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that. So we can just do whatever the fuck we please.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can take less pills and get less abused trying to please people because that's how we were told to do the right thing, to be agreeable, you know, to... I think like there's like people are like so trans women, they have to also have voice training to sound more like a woman. I'm like, well, the best way to sound like a woman is to just be quiet. Don't talk.
Right.
Just like, look at me. Trans woman voice lessons, she's like,
Yeah, laugh a lot at jokes that aren't funny. Yes.
Impressive.
Yes.
You did that? Just like, you need to take acting class.
That is...
Pretend that you're impressed by guys' bullshit.
Yeah, you got to look excited at things that are unimpressive.
That is a woman! That I can see a fucking baby popping up from that pussy. That's a woman. So that's what we do like as women. Like, it's just like, it's And then, like, I'm so tired of it. And I before I had a kid, I'm like, I'll teach my daughter how to be manipulative. She can just do things we want to hear and say things they want to do, and just so she can get an easier life. No, just be whatever. My daughter is really like, nobody's going to like her. A lot of attitude, very cute, but like, she's like, side eye, she's fast. She's just like very dismissive towards my son, be like,
right.
Don't.
She doesn't have time for his bullshit.
That car is falling off.
Yeah.
Just. She doesn't have time and she doesn't have to learn to be like, hey, be nice to the boys, you know, smile more. She can't smile. She looks menopausal. She's like,
yeah, I don't think, yeah, smiling more has never babies? Helped me.
Like, yeah, like, always thinking.
She's a menopausal baby.
Yeah.
That's a good character.
She's menopausal.
I like that.
She doesn't care.
Yeah. I want to meet your daughter so badly the way you explain her. She sounds right up my alley, quite honestly.
Like, first time trying on like pink eyeshadow, I was like, oh my God, I look like a geisha. I am embracing the Asian culture.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I have little flowers. My son's like, mommy looks so beautiful. My mommy is a comedian. My mommy is very, very funny. And Margot's like, hey, Margot. She's like, she used her hand, just bam. She was eating yogurt. So on my eye, she's like,
Wow, she's taking like, bitches down day one.
What? She's like, mm-mm, and walk away.
She just didn't like, she didn't like what you were serving?
Yeah, she's like, no, your eyes look like a monkey's asshole.
Wow, that's a lot for-
Or you went out with Chris Rock. No, Chris Brown, I mean. Chris Rock, I'll be, my pussy will be so wet, but Chris Rock, my, Chris Brown, my eyes are pink.
Right, we get it, because he punched you, yeah.
Yeah, the different Chris.
Yeah.
The first one make me laugh.
Yeah, Chris Rock gets hit, Chris Brown hits.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
So Chris Rock. So wait,
who's Rock serves Rock?
He serves so Rock. Well, he's dating, if they're still like, he's dating the comedian, not the, the actress Lake Bell. Do you know her?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So what that, she have we don't have?
I don't.
Three pussies? Like what?
I don't know what she has. So wh- who
Maybe
are
you? She's young. Is she 25?
No, she's like a regular age.
Nine?
That's what I call people in their like regular, 30s to 40. They're just a regular age.
That's good. That's like a regular age.
Just a regular.
Yeah, regular age. That's good.
What? So wait, so you mentioned Bill Burr and then Chris Rock. Like who is your, if you could date any male comedian, who are you dating?
I would love to date Bill, if even though he's ginger, like even though he's bald.
And I thought you were going to say, even though he's married, the wife wasn't the problem. It was the hair color that was stopping you.
But I like, I think married guy is good because how else would you know the marriage material?
Right.
You never know.
Right.
That's the most amazing sign.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
They can do it.
Material.
He's done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing it right now.
I also feel like
doing it right now is like marriage material because it's ongoing.
Like I'm watching you do it.
What you do it. You are what you do. You are marriage material. I want to be with marriage material. How about a guy who's single and he never married? He never
We don't
married.
Know if he can do
we
it.
We don't know.
We're not sure.
So I'm kidding. I think Bill is happily married and
I think he
happy.
Is too.
He's very happily married.
For how angry his comedy is, he seems in person a really happy guy.
Yeah, because he's, you know, he probably have amazing sex life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it all comes down to.
All his anger thing is
oh, that's
on stage.
True.
When he's a sweetie pie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm eating a pussy.
And that's, I'm sure that's exactly how he does it.
Yeah.
I like that it was from an underneath angle too.
Because like the bald head, they can really like.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. It's like just smooth.
Yeah. I don't care. Like and right now, when I was like younger.
Yeah.
Like he had to be very tall, very handsome, blah, blah. But now I'm like.
That's our standards are diminishing.
Person.
Oh.
Don't be an asshole.
But that, yeah. My number one is love yourself. And I haven't been able to get past that one with any man I've ever met. So.
You want the men to love themselves.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how.
Seems
how
like a small ask.
If you can love yourself.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's actually a very powerful one. You are like a philosopher, bitch.
I was like making a list of things. That, and like my list isn't that, it's not like a crazy list. But I haven't been, that's number one and that's a deal breaker. And I haven't been able to get past that one yet.
Oh my God.
I think my boyfriend good. I had in college loved himself, but we just weren't really like we weren't a match. We're still friends, but I guess we're not like a sexual match. I guess.
But, I think I only have one true like the love of my life.
Yeah,
that I've fucked it up.
You fucked it up.
I fucked up.
What'd you do?
I just. I think I was very young and naive and stupid, but I just took it for granted. And then I was just like really focused on becoming an actress, which I failed.
But now you did something better.
Yeah.
Comedian's so much cooler than an actor.
Yeah.
Sorry to all the actors out there.
We still won't get.
Yeah, we'll still do your we'll still do your TV shows and movies.
Sure. Yeah.
Your little projects.
Yeah. So I think when I never understand when I was reading a book, like true love, even though you lost it, when it's true love that it still empowers you whenever you think about it. And that's what I
That's how they explain what a true love is.
Yeah, and I didn't understand. Like that's bullshit. I love somebody, I want us to be together every single day.
Right.
If we still love each other, why it's gone, or if it was true love, if we should be together. But sometimes you learn something. It's like an angel came to your life for like 4 years, 5 years, give you something that you needed back then, and then something warms your heart when you are all heartbroken, hustle your ass out of the fucking everywhere, and then you feel like you have no friends, people use you, and the guys, like you have a guy who broke your heart, but then you're like, why should I believe in anything? And that memory of the true love, this, it give you hope of there's good things ahead of me.
And that you can experience that again because you've experienced it before.
Yeah, so I believe that kind of people exist.
Wait, what book is this that you got this information from?
It's called like, this book is like a very old book about, like it's like, what was it? Like it's Napoleon Hill, his book.
Okay, I'll have to look that up. I'm very into reading about these kind of theories.
Napoleon Hill.
Yeah.
What it was? Oh, I don't remember the book. I'm getting old. What was the book?
I mean, it's all the same shit. Like calling in the one, he's out there, yeah, honey, don't give up.
More like a success book about like
right.
They study like in America, like from like the 1900s to like 1960s, all of the most successful people in business, art, everything.
Oh.
All of their habits. It's more like it's not like a self-help book, but more like a kind of like a survey of what they have
of winners,
common,
yeah.
What they have in common. So one of like the having like a sexual energy is like the most romantic sexual energy is one of the most powerful thing to inspire an artist to go to the next level.
Wow.
The divinity is like that kind of love. There's different loves. Like a sexual romantic love is a kind of love that is going to really empower you
mm-hmm.
to the next level in your consciousness
mm-hmm.
or everything. I sound like a fucking call leader, but...
No, but was it the same for like heterosexual men and women though? Because I feel like so often, you know, you hear a success story about a straight man and his wife is so supportive and it's like, yeah, I also would be ahead if I had a wife. Like exactly. A wife sounds great for everyone.
Yeah.
I too would love a wife.
And when there's one out of a billion good men, they would support their wife with their careers.
Right.
I haven't met one yet.
Well,
I met one, but I broke his heart, so that's fucked up.
Oh, he was supportive of you?
Yeah, he was just the want me to shine, and he just believed in me.
Was he himself motivated in the same way that you are?
Yeah, he's very good.
Oh, wow.
He's a scientist. He's in the lab.
Oh, a scientist.
Yes, he's like...
didn't need the spotlight, just kind of liked researching and finding the truth and stuff?
Yes, yeah.
Mm, that's a good match.
It was. It was until like...
But when we're young, we don't know...
I was so dumb.
Like, we don't know how to be loved in the right way, you know? We feel like love, I think, when we're younger, is showier than it actually should be. Like, good love.
Yeah.
And then there's like soulmates who like you can connect with them and you can feel like you were so understood, but sometimes that's like too passionate and it can only last a couple of years.
I think so.
Like
I
a
love,
twin flame or something.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think I still believe in love. And I think it's...
Me too, girl.
Exactly. Like what would life be if you don't believe in love?
Sure.
It's pretty dim.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your touring with the guys we fucked?
We're kind of touring on our own right now, kind of doing our own thing. I've been doing like more of a bi-coastal year, whereas Christina is doing, you know, United States. And I just came back from Dublin as well. So I did
Oh my God.
I performed in Ireland for the first time, probably like the best audience I've ever performed for in my life. Irish people have a fantastic sense of humor.
That's amazing.
They're smart, but they're open-minded.
Do you drink beer?
I do drink beer, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a ton, but...
They have a good beer there.
They do. The Guinness tastes different there. It's like it's different than the Guinness in America. And also, more importantly than beer, I eat croissants every day and didn't gain a pound because the bread in Ireland isn't poison.
Oh, nice.
Nice. It was nice.
I think I really just let go of all of the culture that prisoned me. Like, you know, in Asian culture, being
I know,
super
but you
skinny.
Look so good.
Also, like, being super skinny is, like, the standard beauty.
Nah.
Even my maid at home, she's like, you can't eat another, you know, you can't eat another bowl of rice. You know, you have to maintain your look. I'm just like, first of all, what look? Secondly, I give up. Because now two kids need to eat. Like, mama is going to eat. I need to be full.
Yeah.
Because I don't even give a fuck about I gain a pound or I lose a pound. I'm a fucking comedian. Nobody give a fuck about... Like, I'm not a chopstick. Like, I'm not a...
make sure you let people know that you're not a chopstick.
I'm not a chopstick. I know you don't know the difference between Johnny Summers and chopstick, but like I'm actually not a chopstick.
Just an Asian woman and an Asian
just
utensil.
Just an Asian woman. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm eating. She's like, well, right. You are going to gain weight. I'm like, in America, it's fine. Nobody give a fuck about your size. I mean, they do, but like you don't. You have to be like, fuck it.
So listen, like, I see your red carpet photos. You look fly.
Oh, thank you.
You look great. You had one dress where it was just like a see-through slit going up like this, and it was just like titty, and I was like, this is. I need to know who's dressing you. This looks great.
Yeah, her name is Vida Horowitz.
Ugh.
She's a Jewish girl from Chicago.
No, you know what you're doing, lady.
And she, she's also she's like an artist. She can paint too. She's great.
Beautiful.
I just feel like I want to eat because I work hard and I'm hungry and
eating
I don't want to be skinny.
Important. Yeah.
Yeah. My ex was like, you are so short. You have to be skinny in order to be pretty. I'm like.
Was he even hot?
Unfortunately, he was
hot. Oh, okay.
and rich and not.
I knew he was rich
and an asshole.
And I knew he was an asshole.
I have a problem. Like I need to be attracted to the guy in order to get on my knees and suck the dick. It just had to.
Wait, I don't think that's a problem. I think that's a healthy perspective.
Right. Like if I'm not attracted, I don't want to suck your dick. I don't want you. I can't do it.
I can't think of anything worse than having a dick in my mouth that was attached to someone who I did not find attractive in some way, like even if it was personality.
Yeah. I would want to attack a dick if I like the man. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to convince me, like, hey, babe, like, do you want to, like,
you're on board.
I'm like, I'll be like, he's like, what movie should we watch? I'll already be sucking the dick.
Yeah.
Before he turned on the Netflix.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
The curtains don't open. Like, people can see. I'm like, they should see. Because I'm good. It's a masterclass.
Do you have, like, what are some things that you feel like you're specifically bringing to the table when it comes to dick sucking?
I just, when I love you, like when you turn me on, mm-hmm. It's not like a favor. Like you have to.
It's not like
you have to do something to win it. You just
right.
Like you don't have to be like, oh, you know, babe, I brought you flowers. You know, like
you don't have to dance around what you want.
Like when I like you, I'm turned on. I'll be sucking the dick.
Yeah,
it can be anywhere.
Anywhere, anytime, any place, anywhere.
Yeah, it can be in a
very Alanis Morissette. I love it.
Yeah, it can be at PTA meetings. It just is.
Wow.
It's, yeah, I don't care. But if I don't, if I just feel like, okay, maybe you don't have that kind of passionate love. Maybe you should be with people who you get along. Mm-hmm. Then you try to date and you're not attracted to that person. I'm just like it's been like 4 months. You haven't, you know, give me head yet. I'm like, what, you think it's gonna happen one day? Like, I couldn't even. I'm like, why did you ask me this, fucking asshole?
You just keep people around for 4 months and then you go, actually, surprise, I'm never gonna suck your dick.
Yeah, I just like, I just can't do it. That's why I'm like, just be honest with yourself. Don't let yourself, okay? From now on, look at a guy, do I want to suck your dick? Mm-hmm. That's a guy you date.
Yes.
Like, it's like, well, but he's nice. I don't want to, but like, maybe you want. No, that's not for me.
Yeah, that's a friend. If he's friend. Nice, and but you don't want to suck his dick, that's a friend.
Like, also, I can kiss him. I would fuck him, mm-hmm. but I don't want to suck his dick.
Sucking the dick is the most intimate.
I think so.
Yeah. I actually think I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and it's not a job. Like, I love it. Dicks can be beautiful if you want it. Dicks are good.
It's a hobby, really.
Yeah, it's a
passion.
It's a passion. I would say blowjobs is a passion.
Yeah, it's a blow passion.
Yeah, it's when you are good at it, you know, I'm like, I come out with my chopstick in my head. Take the balls here. Just fucking do it. And like,
I feel like if you graze the balls gently with a chopstick, that actually could be a move that would work.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like it would be racist against yourself.
Yeah,
but
I know.
That's for your own.
I know.
That's your own thing to handle.
I want to eat it with my own utensils.
Right.
Because you are getting a Chinese blowjob.
Right. Oh, a Chinese blowjob.
I'm going to put a fortune cookie on top of it, like after I eat it.
I really like this. I feel like when word travels that you get a fortune after Zhao Ying sucks your dick, like there's going to be people knocking on your door.
I know. It's just like, I realized, like, you know, if I look at a guy, he's perfect, I want to date, but like, I'm like, I'll never suck his dick. I think it's a sign. Just don't waste your time on it.
Well, he's not perfect if you don't want to suck his dick then.
Yeah, sometimes
people are too perfect where their dick feels like not suckable.
No, totally. I totally agree. When you are too perfect,
yeah,
it's something's wrong.
Yeah.
They are most likely to be a psycho.
Yeah, I like a long-term heroin addiction or something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or they just like eat cats on Sundays.
they eat cats. Yeah. Also that's another problem.
I love that. I don't think the dick is. It's like literally a robot dick, I'm thinking.
Mm.
But you are not even like a little weird. Like,
yeah.
How can your dick to be real meat? It's like a Beyond Burger.
Oh, yeah.
It's not real.
It looks like a burger.
Yeah, it looks like a burger.
It cooks like a burger.
Yeah.
It's not a burger.
It's not. Mm-mm. Like, it's not a real meat when guys are too perfect.
Yeah.
It's fake.
Yeah. Beyond Burgers last a really long time and you go, what is in here that it's still fine to be in my refrigerator?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. Yeah.
I think it's carcinogens, honestly. I do eat them, but I go, I don't know if this is healthier. It's not for, I don't do it for health, though.
It tastes weird.
You think so? I think Beyond it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, it doesn't
But you
taste
have to
bad.
Like.
It's just weird when something tastes like meat, but it's not meat.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it, and I'm like, how do they do that?
It's like my mom's like, very happy today. I'm like, what's going on?
This looks like my mom.
I'm like,
it smells like my mom. Yeah. I don't think it's my mom.
Exactly.
I'm like, yeah.
What? Why are you so happy today, mom? What?
It's suspicious.
Like, you bought me a Mercedes. I'm like, yes, but like, you are still laughing after 3 seconds. So, I don't know. Something wrong? Like,
did your mom?
Did my sister die? Like,
that would make your mom smile if your sister died?
I'm kidding.
What is she, like, unmarried or something? Me. Unmarried past 25? What's happening?
She's actually my mom's pride and joy. It's me.
Oh, really? You're the problem child.
The problem, yeah.
You were married. You just got unmarried.
Yeah, she's like, she wasn't happy that he was much older than me. She's like, you are going to die a widow all by yourself. You dumb hoe. I'm like, who wants their husband to live forever?
Yeah, I mean, that usually happens like, anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have brain.
You're like, I think my mom knows my plan.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I'm just curious, what is the relationship that you thought it would work, but it didn't, and you literally saw that's the love of your life. There's baby, there's marriage, it's like a big fat wedding with everybody there, and then it's like not working over something so like bizarre and little.
It wasn't even bizarre and little. It was like larger than that. I mean, yeah, I definitely had someone who was the love of my life. And then he like kind of devolved into like mental illness allegedly, because you can't say someone's mentally ill if they're not, but allegedly mental illness. And like got really into conspiracy theories and like cults. Mm. And it like this slow, like it slowly started to reveal itself layer after layer.
In the movie.
And then one day you're like, I don't think my boyfriend likes Jews. And this is a problem because I'm a Jew. You go, me thinks this isn't going to work out. So,
oh my God. Oh yeah. My God. It's a movie.
Yeah, I'm still reeling from that one.
Famous New York comedian podcaster. Jewish gal, obviously.
Right.
She's a Jewish gal and she is madly in love and her boyfriend's changing. And yeah. It's like some cereal tastes nutty. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Oh, there's a knife in my bed.
Yeah.
The oven's on? What? Like, yeah, it's scary.
It's weird when American History X 2 starts to write itself in your apartment. You know, that's scary. Not great.
Like with the gaslighting.
Yeah. It just, the whole thing. Yeah. It was very, I mean, I'm still haven't fully unpacked it, I don't think. And also I feel like I've never been able to like properly explain just exactly what went down to someone else because I myself don't even fully understand.
I think you should write it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You write it out. Then you can.
I gotta write it out and then read it back and then go.
I know. Like I always put together when I write it out, when I can't figure it out.
Right.
Also, like my mind is like so mentally very abused by my ex-husband that like I feel like I've been my wings being chipped away.
Oh,
they are growing back one feather by another feather. Like
yeah,
like a bald feather. Like right now I can feel it. And I realize like I am not in a fit place to think about anybody else than me. I have to think about me, like just mourn the loss of my happiness and of me could just believing I can be everybody, do anything, and to like I think you know being told like I'm stupid, disgusting, talentless, a loser, and I just feel like I need to bury myself the you know and just like kiss her, be like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I love you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I let someone treat me that way. And I'm sorry that
I'm sorry I didn't take care of you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you got brainwashed because you're dumb. You don't have to be dumb to be brainwashed. That's the thing.
You can
be the most brilliant person and get brainwashed, and it's fine. If you can just admit to yourself, I'm brilliant, I got brainwashed. Now that's just like, unwash myself and just be like, okay.
Listen, everyone gets got sometimes, even the best of us.
Yes. Yeah, I think like the people who are bad, they like the narcissists, like they like bright, smart, beautiful people who is charming because they want what you have. They want to mirror you and they know they can't feel how you feel and they wanted to devalue you so they can feel better. And it's just
they want to dim your light, they want to steal your energy. Mm-hmm. It's like when they say energy vampires, but I think even beyond that, there's like passion vampires. there's soul vampires. They just see you walking around with all this stuff that they wish that they had. Yeah. And then they try to go, they go, I'm going to drain this person of mm-hmm. this. I'm going to take mm-hmm. some for me and also, more importantly, take it away from them.
Exactly. Because it's not exciting for a narcissist to take down somebody who is like, has nothing going on.
Like a mediocre person.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that way. And so just feel like
just say, listen, being great as a target makes you a target.
Exactly. Don't blame ourselves for, you know, for that kind of situation. I love yourself. I feel like Oprah, who don't speak English. I'm saying, it's like, I just really feel what is being like going through this kind of hardship teaches me. It's just to have more compassion about myself.
Yeah.
Myself. That's what it makes so much sense when you say you just want a guy who love himself mm-hmm. to begin with. And yeah. That's just the most important thing. And they don't. They are so insecure. A lot of them are like insecure little boys, want your approval. Right. But when they have your approval, they feel like you are like nagging them. They want to make you feel small.
Yeah. Or
good man, which I fucked up. I lost the good man. So
I hope you're talking about that in therapy. It seems to really be weighing on you.
I think I should start talking about it.
Yeah. I think you need to talk about
how I fucked up.
But also you have to, just like the same way as like, you can't blame someone else for like years and years, like if they fucked up a relationship that you really liked being a part of, like you can't blame yourself because it's just like the timing wasn't right. Even if you feel like the person was right, just the timing wasn't right because you weren't ready to accept whatever it was he was giving you.
I think
have you ever tried to reach out again to him?
I did a few years ago and we had a really great conversation.
Oh, you did.
He forgave me and he's very, he's doing very well.
Is he married to someone else?
No.
Ooh.
I mean, I know I can't go back to the past, but I
mean, you can, I mean, why?
I feel like, is that, escaping from reality is because like, when things don't work out for me, I go back to the old comfort cottage.
But I feel like it would be like escaping and going back to comfort if he was a negative influence for you. But you're saying that it was you who was the
negative,
the bad part of that relationship.
The and
then
problem.
You've done the work, you've done the healing, then I think you can go back. But don't go back if you haven't done the healing.
I did, but I think he probably don't want to look at me because I triggered him.
Really?
Like I make him a little upset, I guess.
Oh, I have a boyfriend like that.
But he didn't see, yeah. But he didn't really... blame me for that. He's like, he needed his work because he's just very in love with me and I broke his heart and it take a toll on him. He's not married. And I think, I don't know, but I wish the best for him. I think I needed to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he is.
Well, don't like always pine for him while you're with someone else, though. That's also, I feel like that's some people do that.
Yeah, they do that. But I forget him. I forget it.
You'll forget him when you're distracted by new dick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
When it's good. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, I just think of him as like a really like a beautiful place for me to reevaluate humanity whenever I'm like, people fucking suck. Men fucking suck. Then I'm like, there's a good man.
Yeah.
There.
I feel it that way about my first boyfriend, my longest boyfriend.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. So like, even though like we don't have what we have anymore, but when they are just good people, mm-hmm. good relationship, authentic and beautiful, mm-hmm. it still shines a light in your heart. You're like,
oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I want him to get laid tonight. Like I want his dick to be sucked.
That's true love. You want him to have, be
I want
happy
him to be
fulfilled.
Happy. I want him, you know, to just, to know he's great. And, I'll be happy when, you know, if he's happy. I really feel that way.
Maybe this is a new thing. Maybe like you do some kind of a call to action where you help him get his dick sucked.
That's
this is a fan contest.
I'll tell you how to suck it. I know exactly where to do it. It bent
you
that
teach,
way.
Yeah, you teach a listener.
2 inch up, it bent that way. And you just grab it that way.
Oh.
Switch it.
Uh-oh. That one looks like the dick got decapitated. That was an abrupt turn.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've never performed overseas. But Chicago,
really?
No, I haven't. But Chicago was so great mm-hmm. because the people were, I don't know, they're just like, their heart is just like so not so different from New York and LA. Like LA is like so Hollywood. New York is like,
yeah.
People come to see your show, but like they don't really give a fuck about meet and greet. They're like, we were loved, bye, done, see ya, bitch.
In New York, like, they'll trip over a celebrity.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah. I love that. Eat a rat.
They don't care.
Get out of my
Meryl Streep, but get out of the fucking way.
Yeah, I love that about New Yorkers. It's so funny. And then Chicago, they just thought I was a celebrity. I'm like, guys, I am actually not anyone. So you don't have to line up with the photos for like autograph. And then they asked me for autographs. I'm like, oh my God. What?
Exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's like, it's new. It's like looking like a bamboo shoes coming out from the ground. Mm-hmm. It's not even like a thing. I'm just like.
You just see, you kind of like the seeds of everything that you've planted really coming to fruition.
Yeah, you see like growing out with the ring.
That's so beautiful.
Like, that's cute. And I loved touring and meeting the people that all over America, all over the country. I mean, it just makes me feel like so great. And I have girls coming to me, Asian girls, Asian guys, be like, thank you so much for your voice. You know,
yeah.
You are saying the things that we want to say, but we are afraid of saying.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be more I'm Asian like, perspectives in comedy. Like,
they can call me Chink. They can call me Cunty Bitch. They can call cancel me. I don't care.
Wait, who? Your Asian fans or you mean other people?
The bad people.
Oh, I was like, angry. Why would an Asian person come up and call you that? I'm like, that feels like when a girl says like, hey, slut.
Hey, slut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like people who are mad at me because I have other Asian, some Asian guy, I feel like they're angry. They're like, you are bringing shame to Asian women.
Oh.
You are foul mouthed and you're loud and you're obnoxious. Fuck yeah. You. You're bringing shame to Asian women. I'm like, I'm bringing you back to your mama's vagina, bitch.
Nice.
Like, I wish your dad came on the wall.
Take that, people on TikTok.
Yeah, haters, like, you can tell me hate things, but like, I always say something crazy, make them feel like shit. So just don't roast me.
That's how you handle
the
you out crazy them.
Yeah, I'll roast them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's anytime you click on someone's profile and then you look at who they are, it's never like a hot person doing well. It's always the least attractive mm-hmm. person who has nothing going on. And I almost feel bad a lot of the time. I go, well, now I see why you're in such a bad mood.
Yeah. I'm like, I would be safe. That's my nose, you know.
It just kills me when it's like when it's a parent saying it because you go, oh no, that you're passing on this attitude to your children.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's just more shit that everyone else is going to have to deal with.
I know. It's so nasty. Some people should not have children.
Yeah.
Should not have kids.
Well, I think China made that rule. I think you guys were ahead of the game on that one.
We were going to control the population.
You go, it's an ideas country.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about your rules of comedy. I feel
my rules of comedy?
I feel like it would be so beneficial for I would start with younger Jewish girls.
Specific.
Younger girls and younger people who wants to become a comedian.
Yeah.
To everybody. Because it's going to affect the younger Jewish girls the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who you are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the younger boys and girls who want to do that and then everything.
Right.
But it's because when they look at somebody like them, you know, who is doing well and most of the time, you know, people don't see the struggles. They always think, oh, yeah, it's just like, it happens.
You know, Jews constantly struggling in comedy. This is one of the hardest areas for us to make it in. So it's historically, we're just really trying to climb our way up.
Okay. He didn't have money. He's living in a tent. I'm so sorry for your Jewish boss.
Yeah, I mean, so like the rules, I mean, rule number one is just a lot of people are going to say, what's your backup plan? And that was something that I always said, I don't understand how you can start nobly pursuing something if you've already like given yourself permission and safety to fail. And that to me is what a backup plan is.
Exactly.
A backup plan, that's for someone who's going to live a middle of the road life. I went into this career and I was like, I'm either going to make it or I'm going to be homeless, you know?
I love
that. And I really meant
that. I love that.
I was like, I'm going to lose the house. I'm never going to get like, I'm going to lose everything. And I mean, there was a point like right before I started getting paid for, I wasn't homeless, but I was living in a rodent infested apartment I'm talking like mice crawling over my pillows. I had completely maxed out my credit cards. I had absolutely no money. And I was like, if this next thing doesn't hit, I truly don't know how I'm eating, how I'm paying my rent, how I'm doing anything tomorrow. And it was like at that, but I just invested in myself. And I really believed, I was like, I'm going to max out this credit card. This is like a loan that I'm giving myself to pursue my dreams. And my family thought I was crazy. My friends thought I was crazy. I even like made my email address a comedy specific email address. And then people were like, that's crazy. What if you need to apply for a non-comedy job? I go, I don't care about non-comedy jobs. You don't understand, anything that's non-comedy right now is purely survival. So I did that. And that's like right when everything, when I had kind of no funds left and I had no choice but to succeed, is when I first started making money professionally in comedy. And I think the cool thing was that it was like within, I didn't wait for someone to discover me. I've lived my whole life being me. So I know that I'm like, I have to tell people who I am. I have to serve myself to them on a silver platter. Like, they're not going to figure out what to do with me. I have to tell people what to do with me. And I think that's what Guys We Fucked was for Christina and myself. We told people who we are and what we wanted to talk about. And we showed people that we were good at talking about it. And I didn't wait for someone. I didn't, you know, that's what I like about comedy. You don't have to wait for someone to discover
love
you.
Love that.
You write, you create, show people who you are.
You go on stage and you suck until you're fucking great. And yeah, they can't stop you from being great.
Right.
You're going to be there talking, people are laughing. They can't be like, don't laugh.
Yeah.
No, nobody can be like, she didn't suck my dick and you can't laugh at her.
Right.
Yes, they will be laughing at me, bitch. Like, I love that. It's so empowering. And I feel the same way.
Yeah.
It's investment in yourself.
Yes.
That you don't have a plan B.
Right. There's no
plan B.
No, what's the plan B? I don't understand how you can have a plan B to your dream.
No, you don't have that dream.
What?
Because yeah, you don't think you're worthy of that dream.
Yeah.
That's why you have a plan B. Safety is like, I always say to myself, I'm a moth flying into the flame.
Mm.
Either I'm a phoenix, I will just rise up, or I'm going to be burned death.
Absolutely.
Either way is what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I don't care what people say.
Yeah.
Like, if I am not what I thought I'm made of and I'll die from doing it, it's worth it.
Yeah. I always find it interesting the way like people tend to be so safe in, you know, a lot of times in pursuing their careers, but then tend to be like pretty reckless in love.
Yeah.
And so it's like, why do you allow yourself to be, you know, to kind of wildly pursue love and let it ruin your life in the way you do, but you don't gift yourself the same thing with your career?
Yes. A career
is like, obviously you're not that scared if you're loving these people that you're loving.
I think career is better than love, because a career gives you guaranteed BJ every morning. Love?
It certainly,
I mean,
does.
After like the first 6 months, there's barely any sex or BJ.
Right.
Marriage? That's the
uh-oh.
End of
when did
sex.
It stop in the marriage?
When you find out that you can fuck whenever you want.
Oh.
And be the same person, only the same person, you're like, no.
And you're like, I don't even want to.
Yeah,
anymore.
But being cheesy, like, you know, like, when you love somebody, like, it's different. It's,
yeah.
But that kind of love is very rare to find. Sometimes it's worth a lifetime to try to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the beauty about love is like, you know it. When it's not like, sometimes when it's not organic, but when it's organic, you know it.
Yeah.
And you feel it and it works. It doesn't work like when you say like it burns out the flame.
Sure.
You're gone. But as long as you're authentic about what you wanted, and I think it's, heartbroke is just something that you want somebody to be the person you want to be when they are not, and you are heartbroken. But if you think about it, maybe that person wasn't the person you wanted it to be, and
it's
good, they're gone.
Right. But it's like so hard, because I think it's also like you have to then begin again. And also, you know, love in that way, there's I guess it's a psychologist that I really love named Guy Winch, and he does a lot of relationship work, and he did a TED talk and on how to heal a broken heart, and wrote a book based on the same TED talk, and he really treats love and breakups like addiction. It's like you have to basically detox from that love.
It is.
And you have to stop thinking about them.
It's the most powerful drug. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah. He gave me my favorite relationship advice or breakup advice, where it's like, if you are having trouble getting over someone, you have to make a note section in your phone about all the reasons that they were wrong for you. And anytime you start to think about them, you look at it.
That's so good, because we self-brainwash.
Yeah, you well, and there's a word for it too. I can never recall it, but
reasoning.
What?
Like reasoning, like you reasoning.
Reasoning, but there's like a specific word for when you think you recall a romantic relationship and you basically only remember the positives and not the negatives. And that's how we see it. So you forget all the fighting. You just remember the good times. You remember the times that you felt amazing. But then it's just like, okay, I'll start thinking about something like that. And then I'll be like, oh, but we also had a fight. Yeah.
Why is it? It was...
Like, remember when he choked me out?
I mean, it was like,
but okay, it wasn't
like,
sexual?
But it wasn't. But it's only like one time.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, every other month. Yeah, but it's not a big deal. I'm still alive.
Yeah. Oh, wow, you survived.
I feel like women should just talk about all the bullshit.
Oh, my God.
The more we talk about it, the more we can be like, oh, that kind of suck.
Yeah, if this is happening.
I mean, he did rape me the first date, but like, I didn't cry.
Right.
Because I wasn't allowed to cry. Because yeah. I'll be judged if I cry.
Right.
And then we just swallow all of the pain.
Yeah.
Even though like, at you know, when a woman don't want to have sex, they have sex. And she still carry that kind of pain. And she don't just hate that guy. She also hate herself for not standing up for herself. It's so much guilt and shame. And it build up and... you know, you wonder why you need a Xanax. You wonder why, you know, you feel unhappy when good things happen. People go, why you look like you have resting bitch face? Because there's so much trauma there even though something good is happening, you're like kind of numb because we don't know even where to begin to talk about it. It's just like it's being the little girl, you know, always smile. Sounds
everything's
sweet.
Okay. It's your job to make everything, you know, yourself happy. And everyone else feel better.
Don't talk about your problems. Don't tell people why you are unhappy.
Yeah, don't be a buzzkill.
Don't be a buzzkill, yeah. Be a buzzkill. Be my daughter.
Yeah.
Menopausal toddler.
Be a buzzkill.
Be a menopausal toddler.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter's going to be fine because I'll work my ass off to make sure she have a trust fund because guys are not going to be around, and she can just have money and do whatever the fuck she wants. And
you already know that she's not gonna, guys aren't gonna be around her.
They would love how beautiful she is and how smart she is, but then they would be scared away. If by the way I raised her, she's just gonna take no shit.
Yeah.
She'll work hard, she'll have everything she needs for herself, from herself, for people who she wants support, and she doesn't need anything from a man, no validation, like no money, no support.
Yeah.
The man is just like, it's like what the share says. It's that man is like a cherry, you know, on top. It's like extra sweet things. I already have everything. It's just like it's a dressing. I don't need it.
Yeah,
I can have it. Men are good, but do I need it? No.
That's like what Cher said.
Yeah,
she's so great. I love men, but men are like a dessert. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think she will. It's just
your daughter's gonna be Cher.
Yeah, it's just ahead of. I want her to be ahead of her time, and it's fine. I was ahead of my time. I was told my whole life.
You definitely are ahead of your time, yeah.
People tell me, teach me, like, you can't dress up for comedy. You can't dress up. It won't be funny. I'm like, no. I'll be dressed up being for comedy. Like,
it doesn't even make sense also because old school female comedians, like, that's how...
Jim Carroll.
Yeah, that's how everyone originally started was dressing up and presenting themselves. And,
yeah, it's
and
a then show. We,
yeah, because...
People pay to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look cute.
Don't I know. Anytime I try to show up without makeup on, I go, are you an entertainer? Are you not an entertainer, bitch? Put some lipstick on.
We're an entertainer, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I really agree with you on that. It's like, show up for your job. It has nothing to do with being a woman or being a man. It's like, this is a performance and there's aesthetic to a performance.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think there's a light stage. Why do you wear like
a- There is light and there is a stage. Yeah. Yes.
So why do you wear a trash bag? You know, why?
Feels like it's specific and directed towards someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I love like I love when female comedians have their style and kills it.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be like fancy stuff. It's just like they have their style. That's what they do. That's what they look like.
I like that so from cool. Everyone, from male comedians too. It's like you like when how someone looks and how someone presents themselves adds to who they are on stage.
Yeah,
I think I don't know if you know Jeff Leach. He does a great job at that. He's a male comedian who really puts a lot of thought into how he dresses, and I think it really like. you're all eyes are on him when he goes on stage in a way that it takes a couple minutes for other male comedians to get eyes on that.
Yeah, like Joe Coy always looks
yeah.
fly.
Yeah, Joe Coy always. He looks fly, yeah.
Yeah, he always looks fly. He looks like a star.
Yeah.
He's a star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You, how you dress and how you present yourself, it's
who you
command respect. And like, that's the thing that you need to have as a comedian. It's not because like you respect yourself. Many of us certainly don't. Mm-hmm. But it's like the audience needs to feel like you are steering the ship. Mm-hmm. And once they feel like you've lost control of the ship, the whole show's down the tube.
That's so good because you have to have control over it. You have to be like a – that's why like we are so like powerful, and it's very hard for men to find us attractive in a way that they feel comfortable about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the powerful, strong man, they would find a powerful woman attractive. Sexy.
Yeah, and you gotta leave space. You can't. I love. There's a relationship expert on Instagram. He's at Ace Metaphor, and he was just talking the other day about how if you're looking for a powerful man, you have to spend a lot of lonely nights by yourself because you can't have someone in your bed who doesn't appreciate you. Because then, when it's time for the strong man to find you, you'll be distracted by some loser.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Ace, you've done it again.
So good.
Done it again.
So good.
Then he said something about God, and I just said it. I was like, nah, we don't, it's whatever. Insert whatever here.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't believe, but I was just like, he made it like more religious than it needed to be. And I was like, oh, that's fine. I still got something.
Take the good one.
I still got something from it.
One take.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very empowering talking to you because as an Asian woman who was born in China, sex topics are just off the table.
I can only imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I can't say anything. And I wanted to create an additional part of our podcast is that I want to talk with the greatest Corinne Fisher, the lady of Guys We Fucked. I want to ask, I want to discuss a few sex questions with you, sex
okay.
topics with you. And this is going to be exclusive content, only available for pay-per-view contents.
Oh, pay-per-view,
you,
wow.
As a Jewish girl, I'm going to give you a cut for the pay-per-view.
Thank you.
As a Jewish girl's friend.
Appreciate it.
As a Chinese girl, which means like we are the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
I do often say I had an Asian upbringing because of how much was expected of me, so.
Yeah, but
Asians and Jews, we have a lot in common.
We are at 1 hour, right?
Yeah, you put from 5 to 6.
Yeah, okay. We'll finish up now. I'm so excited about the show tonight.
Yes, I'm so glad you're doing it. Especially the first one, like that's like extra meaningful.
It's amazing. I'm going to talk about like I have your notes. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. You're going to do great. You're going to be a shining star as usual.
Where can we find you?
You can find me on social media, TikTok, Instagram, and what's the other one? Twitter. That's going under at PhilanthropyGal, CorinneFisher.com. And I have two podcasts, Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast with Christina Hutchinson. And then I have another podcast where I roast the American news and how media is skewed. And that's called Without a Country. Both are available everywhere you listen to podcasts and full video on YouTube. Thank you.
Amazing. Well, I'm touring and I look sleepy, mainly because I am, because I have two kids and I have both of them. I kept them and I work hard for them because it's a woman's job. Yes. So I can tell them what to do. I'm kidding. I won't do that to them. Yeah, I want them to just live my dream. Yeah, live my dream. I'm touring. You can find me May 29th in Philadelphia and May 24th in New York City and June 4th in DC and June 11th in Seattle and June 14th to 18th. I'm in Texas. Texas. I mean, Texas.
You memorized a lot of tour dates there.
Yes. My husband thinks I'm fat. I also know that. his mind is powerful. But she has her limits. But she's fine. Jiaoying Summers is doing okay, guys. I'm doing fine. No boobs is showing. I'm wearing this and long jeans. And it's her day to shine. This is
Thank you.
The one, the only, the Jewish princess. Thank you for empowering women.
Thank you.
Thank you for being super funny. And thank you for coming up. And we're going to hang out later.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yay!